ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. So it is the most happening place. If you saw the program that's happening in Prashanthi Nilayam last few days, today is April 18, 2019, we had lovely celebration of Vishu, the Kerala New Year. Earlier to that we had Tamil New Year. Before that we had very beautiful music program by Sayuth from Shivam. So you had devotees from Andhra, Tamil Nadu and Kerala, successive days offering lovely programs at Bhagwan's lotus feet. So even though the temperatures are supposed to be on the upper side now in Prashanthi Nilayam in this month of April, but there is nothing that can deter the joy of being in Prashanthi Nilayam, the enthusiasm of people to see which weekend is free in Prashanthi Nilayam and somehow take that opportunity to come. Does not matter if the conditions are not comfortable, because the amount of joy that you get out of this is incomparable. And even as this is happening in Prashanthi Nilayam, in Vrindavan, there is a summer course going on Indian culture and spirituality for youth, college-going students who have gathered from all over India, April 17th to April 20th. So you have 3.5 days summer course. First of a kind initiative after perhaps Bhagwan left his physical form. We used to always have summer courses for the students of Satya Sai institutions before the academic year commences in the month of May. So 10-15 days before June 1st, we had the summer course for many years, right from 1990. Earlier to that, Bhagwan used to have summer course for students from all over India way back in the 70s. That had stopped and Bhagwan resumed it only for the students of the university in the 90s. So what is happening today is a flashback. You have students who have come from all over the country and they are participating, knowing about the greatness of Indian culture, the sacredness of our spiritual heritage. Such a heartening occasion, such a beautiful way to go back in time to the glory that Vrindavan always has been. In fact, in this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, we have been trying to capture that, document that and disseminate that. The beautiful way Bhagwan shaped Vrindavan, the beautiful way Bhagwan created this character-rich generation, the foundations of which was laid in Vrindavan when Bhagwan started the men's college there in 1969. Earlier to that, in 1968, Swami started the women's college. Swami used to spend a lot of time in those days in Anandpur with the women students, as well as lion's share of his time with the men students in the Vrindavan campus. And in this series, as this campus celebrates its golden jubilee in June 2019, 50 years of its existence, we have been doing this series to document the story of this campus, how every little facet that is part of the Sri Satya Sai system of integral education actually had its origin in Vrindavan. We talked about the beautiful relationship that Bhagwan so creatively, so sweetly crafted with the boys in the initial years, I shared with you how the hostel was just a rudimentary structure. It was just a car garage, which is converted into a hostel. You had two buildings as a hostel. One was a car garage and another was a simple hall, which of course later on became a Kalyan Mandapam. And today it is a very beautifully done, redone Kalyan Mandapam. But in those days it was just a hall. But even though the facilities were minimal, the access to Swami was phenomenal in those days. And I've shared with you stories of how boys were almost virtually living with Swami, living in the same compound. That is how it was for them in those days. And how Swami used this physical proximity that he gave the students to inculcate in them great lessons of nobility, great lessons of integrity. So today we will continue this series. You're going to listen to a very beautiful conversation that I had with Dr. Sundaresan, who joined the Vrindavan campus in 1977. So 77 is the year when the new hostel came up in Vrindavan. And I think that is a story which has to be shared. Perhaps you might have heard about it in many talks, but this is a story which is emblematic of the relationship that existed between the students and Bhagwan in those days. And we have in fact made an audio special out of it. So let's listen to how the current hostel came into being, how Swami decided that now there is a new building that is needed and we cannot manage now with a car garage converted into a few rooms or a dormitory where boys are sleeping, just keeping all the stuff in a suitcase. They need a place, and they need a much bigger place, a place which can house at least 300, 400 boys. And that institution came in 1977, and the story of its origin is a very beautiful saga of what it is to be a student, of what it is to love Swami with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and to what extent Swami will go for you if you give him your everything.
Hum sada tere saath rahenge pyar. प्यार की नगरी में सदा.
50 years ago in 1969, Bhagwan unfurled his first college for men in Vrindavan, his ashram in Bengaluru. Vrindavan then was on the outskirts of this city. Facilities for devotees were minimal. It was the same for the students in Swami's hostel too. The first hostel for the boys, in fact, was a car garage converted into a rudimentary dormitory. With no cots, no fans, no cupboards, it had no conveniences for a comfortable life for the students. Yet, the boys had zero complaints, expressed no regrets, and on the other hand, were bubbling with joy, energy, and happiness. In fact, they would not want to swap their place of stay for any other location. Why? Because it was next to Bhagwan's residence within the ashram compound. They felt they were living with Swami all the time. Every day, every moment, every instance of their lives was spent seeing Swami, serving Swami, being with Swami, dining with Swami, and smiling with Swami. This is how many blissful years passed for the boys. However, sometime in 1976, suddenly came the news that Bhagwan is planning to build a new hostel for the students. It was to be a big building with many floors, several rooms, lots of cupboards, fans, and so on. But it was to be constructed hundreds of meters away from the Vrindavan ashram, even beyond the new college building, which was already outside the ashram premises. The plan had been drawn, the area cleared, the ground marked, the engineers were ready to start the work, and the foundation stone laying ceremony was just a day away. The previous evening, Bhagwan came into the hostel. Even as he stepped in, one boy, sitting right at the door, stretched out his hand with a letter. Bhagwan lovingly accepted his prayer and opened the folded paper. Right then, standing there, Swami read the contents of the letter patiently. Once he finished, he looked at the boy with much love and asked, "Can I ask the warden to share with everyone what you have written?" The boy humbly said, "Swami, as you wish. You can do whatever you want with it." Bhagwan then handed the letter over to the warden and asked him to read it aloud. The boy had written, "Most beloved Bhagwan, humble pranams at thy lotus feet. Dearest Swami, why are you upset with us? Have we transgressed some discipline which is dear to you? If it is so, tell us, Swami. We will surely correct ourselves. But please do not banish us, Swami. Do not banish us from Vrindavan. Why are you building a hostel for us somewhere so far away from your presence? But if you are really not unhappy with us, then Swami, please pull down your residence and build another one for yourself right next to the proposed new hostel that you are making for us. Swami, we are not particular that we should stay only here. All we ask for is we want to be with you wherever it is. Please do not take us away from you. Keep us always with you. Please, Swami." Bhagwan was so touched and so overwhelmed with this sincere prayer from a pure heart that Swami instantly asked for Colonel Joga Rao, the Central Trust engineer in charge, and said, "See, Joga Rao, my boys are feeling bad that the hostel is coming up far away from Vrindavan." Colonel Joga Rao responded saying, "Swami, it is not very far. It is only next compound." But the boys immediately added, "Yes, but it is a different compound. It is not the same compound." Bhagwan was even more moved. He then asked Professor Narendra, the principal of the college then. Professor Narendra, an ardent devotee of Swami, who always delighted in the sweetness of the relationship that existed between Swami and the students, gently said, "All these children have come leaving their parents and homes only for you, Swami. They need your love. They should be close to you, Swami." Bhagwan's eyes were full. His heart overflowed with tender emotion. The next moment, Swami looked at Colonel Joga Rao and said, "Cancel the plan. Let's build a hostel inside the ashram itself." There was no place inside the ashram except a large tank next to Bhagwan's residence. Swami said, "Let's build it around the tank itself." And that is indeed where the Sri Satya Sai Hostel for the Vrindavan students finally came into being. The Vrindavan Hostel till this day stands as a testimony to the indescribable infinite bond that binds the students and Swami into an eternal saga of surreal love. It is this bond that energizes the students, purifies their acts, and sanctifies their lives. It is this bond that kills their weaknesses, skills their virtues, and shapes them to be carriers of His love, His care, His protection, and His benediction. This is the timeless story of the union between Swami and His beloved students.
Hum sada प्यार की नगरी
हम तेरे हैं साईं, हम तेरे हैं. सो दैट इज द रिलेशनशिप बिटवीन द बॉयज एंड दैट इज हाउ द हॉस्टल केम इन टू बीइंग इन वृंदावन. इन फैक्ट इट रिमाइंड्स मी ऑफ अ वेरी ब्यूटिफुल लेटर दैट स्वामी वंस रोट टू द वृंदावन हॉस्टल. स्वामी सेड, माय बिलवर टीचर्स एंड बॉयज, एक्सेप्ट माय लव एंड ब्लेसिंग्स. In this world of change, we meet with various vicissitudes of life, both pleasant and unpleasant. We are afflicted with diseases, both mental and physical. The body is stricken with diseases and the mind is filled with worries. In this state of our unhappiness, turmoil and misery, there is only one way, and that is to take refuge in Sai. Sai alone will remove these difficulties and diseases and bring you health, peace and prosperity. And then Bhagwan went on to say, he who has got Sai's name on his lips is a Jivan Mukta, Swami says. He's a liberated soul. Because continuous remembrance of Sai eliminates the ego sense and grants him the realization of his immortal, changeless self. Name is a link between the devotee and Sai. It brings the devotee face to face with Sai and enables him to attain the knowledge of his oneness with Sai. So this is what Bhagwan had written, and he signed saying, your Sai, your own Sai, Sri Satya Sai. So this is the story of Vrindavan. We have been doing this series for more than 18, 20 episodes now, and every time you recall a story of Vrindavan, it fills you with bliss, it fills you with that ecstasy that you have only heard in the stories of Bhagavata. The same Bhagavata recreated by Bhagavan in Kali Yuga, and that is what is Vrindavan. In the previous episode, I shared with you the conversation with Dr. Sailesh Srivastava, where he mentioned about how Trai Vrindavan came into being, how the old bungalow where Bhagwan was staying from the 60s, Swami pulled that down, and in 1984, Swami inaugurated the new structure, Trai Vrindavan. Dr. Sailesh shared about those very emotional moments, those poignant moments when the old bungalow was demolished and there was only one wall remaining, one window remaining, and Swami went up and he looked, stood there amidst the ruins there, and even when everyone was getting emotional about that building not being there now, every speck of that building, every pillar of that building, every slab of that building, every inch of that building had so many stories for all these students, but that building now was down to dust. But Bhagwan went, and from that window he looked and he just smiled. He wanted to somehow convert that moment of tense emotion into a moment of celebration. That is what God does to us. He wants that every moment of our lives become a celebration. I had the good fortune to converse with Dr. Sundareshan, who had the chance to become a student of Bhagwan in 77, as I mentioned to you before. He was fortunate to see Bhagwan in the early Vrindavan days and also interact with him from the 90s, once Bhagwan shifted him back to Vrindavan. And his is a story that we have covered in great detail earlier, but I asked him about how it was when Thrai came into being, and his memories of the summer course that he has witnessed, and also those lovely Vrindavan golden memories of yesteryears. We just recorded this last night, and so I'm going to play for you the excerpts of this conversation with Dr. Sundareshan as he takes on the Vrindavan story in the 80s with some flashbacks of the beautiful moments in the 70s. Here is Dr. C.N. Sundareshan for you.
Mentioned to you some beautiful thoughts and beautiful experiences I vividly recollect now. It is around 1985, the 60th birthday. Swami had not come to Vrindavan for more than a year and a half after the Thrai was inaugurated in 1984, April 26th. Swami had not come to Vrindavan after that. So Vrindavan residents were praying, people of the Bangalore, Swami's devotees were praying that Swami should come to Vrindavan. Their strong prayers were heard, and after 60th birthday, Swami came to Vrindavan. They had arranged a beautiful function. They were week-long celebrations again in the month of December in Vrindavan. And during one of the sessions outside Vrindavan, Swami came out. There are a few elderly ladies who stay in other part of Thrai. Every day they clean, mop the place and keep it clean. And one of the lady had come for Swami's 60th birthday celebration, and there were lakhs of people. And she lost her Mangal Sutra. Somebody robbed her Mangal Sutra. Mm-hmm. It's but natural for ladies that it's very, very special, especially for Hindus, that it's very, very sacred. And she was very depressed and she was in tears. We were all waiting for Swami's darshan. Swami came out of the entry room and this elderly lady was sobbing. Swami came and asked her, "Why are you sobbing?" And she said, "Swami, somebody robbed my Mangal Sutra in Puttaparthi during your birthday celebrations." Like a small Swami, he said, "Papam." She cried more. She couldn't control. Then Swami just waited for a few moments. Then Swami waved his hand and then said, "Is this your Mangal Sutra?"
Oh, wow.
So she was seeing her face. "Swami," she asked, and then she fell at Swami's feet. Mm-hmm. And then immediately Swami turned to all the students and staff who was there. Swami said in Telugu, but I'll tell you in English so that everybody understands. Swami said, "This robber robbed it from that robber."
Wow.
Such beautiful moments with the Lord. Mm. And one day I recollect Swami wanted to leave Vrindavan and go to Puttaparthi. He didn't want the boys to know about it. So Swami came in the evening when Mr. Java, a very ardent devotee who owns the Joy Scheme factory in Whitefield, he was there. And Swami said, "My boys are asking for ice creams. Sabhi puchta hai, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. Tum ek ice cream bhi nahi leta." Then Swami, "Kal special ice cream bana ke lekar aate." Swami said, no, get it today. Then he rushed. He went to Whitefield and whatever stock was there, he got and gave it to the students. Mm. And little bit did we realize that Mr. the same Krishna who come again, next day quietly early in the morning, he vanished from Vrindavan. Those days Swami never used to mention when he is leaving Vrindavan.
Hmm.
Early in the morning sometimes the few students, Swami will take them to Madhumalai forest, or Swami used to take them to Ooty. Around 3 or 3.30 in the morning when most of them will be sleeping, Swami will go to some unknown destination. Those days we never had a mobile. It was very difficult to know where exactly Swami is going. The fortunate students used to accompany Swami. Things are all so beautiful. One day Swami didn't want anybody to know. So 3 o'clock in the morning, Swami came down. Swami told no light should be on.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami got a torch light. They got a small torch light and Swami came from upstairs. Swami said, Swami thought nobody will know. Swami didn't want even the corridor light to be on.
Mm.
Only the car came and stood there.
Mm.
And to his utter surprise, he found 10 boys outside. 3 o'clock, 3.30
oh
in the morning.
God.
And immediately, see, boys are all, that inner urge is there. He does it in his own way. Only those boys, somehow came to know that Swami is leaving. So early in the morning during Brahma Muhurt that time, all the boys had the good fortune of Swami called all of them and gave them prasadam and pada namaskar. It was such a wonderful moment.
Wow.
In the Brahma Muhurt time, you had the Lord's vision, blessing, darshan, sparshan and sambhashan.
The boys are constantly thinking about Swami, constantly tracking Swami's movement.
Those days are so beautiful.
Yes.
And sometimes few boys used to know about Swami's going and somebody will make noise. Immediately everybody will get up and rush.
Mm.
So many times it has happened that all the boys, so much of noise will be there in the hostel. Wherever boys are, they will all rush. Reminded of this old, maybe we have not seen, at least we have read in the books.
Yes.
How when Krishna used to come, all the Gopalas and the Gopikas used to come. It was the same, in a different ambience it was enacted. It was so nice, so beautiful. Very, very difficult to even express in words. One has to experience such golden moments with the Lord. I still vividly recollect September 1st, 1977, with a set of boys, Swami quietly vanished somewhere. We don't know where Swami went. As I told you, there were no communications as it is today. We didn't have mobiles. Even the telephone was not so easily accessible. And September 5th was the Janmashtami. And we are all feeling very sad that on a Krishna Janmashtami, we're missing the Krishna himself. So we had beautiful bhajans on September 5th, 1977. But Swami was not there. We didn't know exactly. Nobody knew where Swami exactly was. Somebody was saying they saw Swami in Ooty. Somebody said in Mysore. At different points of time. And we finished bhajans. We had nice, beautiful bhajans in the dining hall of the hostel. And then Ramaram comes around, maybe around 8 o'clock. And then suddenly announces, Swami is coming to Vrindavan a few minutes from now.
Wow.
All of you be ready. Almost all the boys just ran, washed their hands, they left the place as it is. We are all having dinner. And we all rushed. I also rushed. I rushed fast and I was first to go and stand near the door of the old Vrindavan. Within a few minutes, Swami's car arrived. And the first thing Swami got down and asked us, how are you, my dear boys? Then he said, don't worry, tomorrow also is Janmashtami. I'll come to the hostel, I'll bless all of you, I'll give lot of joy. Then next day, Swami came and then sat in the jhula. It was such a wonderful moment. Then Swami himself gave the full menu, what should be prepared for the dinner, special dinner. Swami came in the evening. I think in a different context, somebody else would have mentioned, Swami did create a Kaustubam and showed it to all of us.
No, you can talk about that, sir. Please.
It was on September 6th, 1977. Swami is talking about Krishna. Swami said Radha was 9 years older than Krishna. She had so much of love for Krishna. And Swami also mentioned that what is mentioned in the text is entirely different from what exactly existed. Krishna was a small kid when he played with the Gopikas, all the pranks. And as Swami was speaking and suddenly Swami waved his hand. Generally Swami makes a small circle. Swami waved it, big circle. And then Swami took out and said, this is Kaustubam. Since it was given by Krishna's grandmother to Krishna. So Swami created and then showed it to all of us. All the students were there in the dining hall of the hostel. And then somebody had got a small Krishna statue. Swami put the Kaustubam on Krishna statue. And as we were having dinner, we didn't notice exactly what is happening. And after dinner, mysteriously the Kaustubam vanished.
Oh.
Swami used to come very often to the dining hall. And during the dining sessions, Swami serve at least a fruit or a sweet to all the boys.
All the boys.
Swami himself is to go around, at least put a sweet. Swami himself is to go around and serve.
Wow.
Even till today, I feel is one of the most hallowed place, because Swami has dined in the Vrindavan hostel dining hall hundreds of times. Swami has come to the kitchen hundreds of times. The kitchen is sanctified. The whole place is sanctified. Again, coming back to the Lord's mischief, one day Swami came to the hostel and Swami gave discourse, and Swami wanted to exclusively dine with the students.
Mm-hmm.
Many guests used to come along with Swami to the hostel dining hall, that was a prayer come dining hall, and Swami didn't want any of the guests to be there when Swami is dining with the students.
Mm-hmm.
The same mischievous Krishna come again. Those days when Arati was given, everybody used to stand up, unlike now where people sit. So when Arati was given, everybody stood up, guests were on one side, and many tall boys were there, and quietly Swami went towards the hostel kitchen. Many tall boys surrounded Swami, and Swami went inside the kitchen and closed the kitchen door. Even till today, there is a small glass window in the kitchen door. I was there near the pillar. Swami was just keeping his hand near his eye and just watching what is going to happen. And he beckoned some students, Sir Prasadam and send them off. So there were three doors in the hostel dining hall. Prasadam was served. In the meanwhile, the guests didn't know where Swami was.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody was standing, they thought Swami already left. So the prasadam was served, and after all the guests left, like a mischievous Krishna, he came out of the kitchen. He said, yes, I want to dine only with you all. So it was such a wonderful moment. The same old Krishna come again to play with his comrades. Very often Swami used to come to the hostel, and Swami will pick up boys who don't know music, ask them to sing. And some of the boys who were well-versed in singing used to sing Purandar Das Kirtans. And some of them who knew musical instruments, Swami used to ask them to play. And it's just a wonderful session. In fact, Swami has dined, as I said, in the Vrindavan dining hall hundreds of times. There used to be summer courses. From 77 onwards, all the participants had food in the dining hall. In fact, those days, ladies used to come, girl students. First, they will have dining for 2-3 batches. And then after, the boys used to have the same dining hall. Later on, different location was there for them. And summer courses were amazing. Students from all over India were selected. And it was a month-long summer course. In the morning, we used to have some yogasanas. And after breakfast, we used to go to the auditorium in Vrindavan. Many learned scholars used to give lectures on various aspects of Indian culture and spirituality. And the finale of everyday program was the Swami's discourse. And there's a theme. In 1977, it was Ramayana. I think in 1978, it was Bhagavatam. Hopefully, I'm correct in the sequence. And 1979, it was the Bhagavad Gita.
Hmm.
And every day, Swami used to give discourse for nearly 30 days. At the end of the summer course, there used to be an exam for the students. 50% of the marks for based on the talks given by the scholars, and 50% based on Swami's discourse. And I recollect in 1979, that is the last formal summer course, month-long summer course. The last day of the summer course, Swami wanted only students, no other elders. Students and teachers were there. No guests were allowed except Dr. Bhagwantam, who was translating Swami's discourse, and Professor Kasturi. Swami spoke about his childhood at length, and then end of the discourse, Swami said, whenever you are in deep trouble, think of me from the depth of your heart. That very moment I'll manifest and protect you.
Wow.
Idu Satyam. Three times the whole auditorium is vibrating with the Lord's assurance.
This is truth.
Three times Swami said. And that is the last formal summer course. After that we never had a summer course. 1979 was the last formal 1 month long summer course. Though it was revived in 1990, it was not a month-long summer course. Maybe it was for 10 to 15 days. And in one of the summer courses, maybe 76, 77, as I said, many students from all over India used to attend a summer course. Some of them knew Swami, some of them didn't know Swami. And there was a participant of the summer course who was smoking. He couldn't leave because he was addicted to smoking. And though he had the good fortune of being selected for the summer course, maybe this is God's way of transforming people in his own way. He found it extremely difficult to control smoking because discipline had to be maintained, month-long discipline. Students have to follow a routine particular way of life. It's a very, very disciplined life. And he couldn't control himself. He wanted to smoke. So when everybody retired for the day, he used to go somewhere near the bush, pitch dark. And 2 days he smoked and came. He thought nobody noticed because it was pitch dark. And most of the people had retired. After a few days, all were standing for Swami's darshan. And Swami came directly to this student and Swami asked, "Did you smoke?" "That Swami, I didn't smoke." 2 or 3 times Swami asked and he denied. Then Swami immediately created a photograph of his smoking behind the bush.
Oh, wow.
He was shocked. He said, "How can somebody do this? I didn't see anyone, no flash. I thought nobody knew about it." And it was a clear picture of his smoking behind a bush. And immediately fell at Swami's feet and then promised that he will never smoke again. This is how, in a small, small instances like this, Swami changes the heart. Summer course was a great occasion for hundreds of youth from all over the country to bask in his divine love and transform and sanctify their own lives.
Beautiful. I think you were also someone who was all the time involved with the summer course deeply, but always behind the scenes.
I said 1990, Swami started summer course again in Vrindavan. And 91 onwards, I was taking care of the auditorium, stage management, stage decoration, and maintenance of the auditorium. A few days before the summer course used to commence, Swami himself used to come and inspect. Swami used to go to the bathrooms, Swami used to go to the toilets, barefoot, and ensure everything is clean. Swami could have sent anyone, so many people are there, Swami could have just told, ensure everything's clean. Swami wanted to set a personal example himself. Several times he told me, "See, this is not good, put some acid and clean it properly." And it was such a touching thing because so many people are there. Swami could have just told them, ensure the whole place is clean, it would have been done. But he wanted to teach all of us a lesson. And Swami was like a kid. We had some design for the stage decoration. And I asked some of the students to just make a small replica of what we are supposed to do. And Swami came, Swami said, "Ehem chestunaro."
What are you doing?
What are you doing for this year's stage decoration? I just mentioned to him, "Swami, we are doing this elephant, a small replica of that we had." Swami was so keen. I said, "Swami, I will get it now." Swami was just near the entrance of the auditorium. And I just went running to the main stage where this small replica of the elephant was there in a thermocol cutting. And by the time I could turn back and see, Swami had almost reached the auditorium.
Oh my God.
He was so keen to see what it was. I said, "Swami, just a replica." And every small minute detail Swami used to say, "Do this," because we never knew the beautiful paintings in the auditorium. We never knew a lot of dust used to collect on that. And Swami used to say, "See, take a wet cloth and ensure it is wiped out properly." And every minute detail Swami used to take care. See, sometimes one of the summer courses had told some students to do it. But unfortunately, for some reason, they didn't do it. I knew Swami was coming next day morning. And I know Swami is surely going to ask. It is not complete. I didn't want Swami to ask a question why it is not done. So I got up 4 o'clock in the morning. I went myself personally, took a needle and thread. Few things, some cloth decorations had to be done. So I myself till 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, nobody was there. I did myself. And then, as usual, Swami came after morning darshan. And when Swami saw, I was so pleased.
Wow.
And Swami knew that I had done it. Because just before Swami came, I don't know, suddenly I got a whooping cough. My chemistry department is very near the auditorium. I went there. I took some cough syrup was there. I was not sure that my cough will recede. But by the time Swami came, everything was fine. And Swami saw it. Swami is very happy. See, it's not as if the God doesn't know what you're doing. He knows the intention. He knows what you're doing. He rewards you for that. Then he spoke to me for quite some time. I knew it was a reward for doing my work, which was not done previously. And for the intention that when Swami comes, Swami will be pleased to see it. So I got up early in the morning and he came and spoke to me for quite some time. That is a reward God so beautifully bestows on anyone who does the work sincerely. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. Swami will come and say, "Oh, do this, do that." And he'll say, "I'm coming tomorrow to see how it has been done." He won't come because I knew once he tells it will be done, it will be done. Swami has the confidence in students that students will do it. And this is the experience which I have for several years I have experience with Swami, he will say, I'm coming tomorrow to see if it is done. And Swami himself will give some beautiful patterns, this is the way it should be done. And Swami himself used to get some beautiful statues and say, you place it here, place this there. And it is such a wonderful thing, because every small minute detail Swami used to take care. I still recollect even, I think, sandalwood garland. Once it has got, and Swami said, see, don't keep it anywhere. This is the garland which is used for the chief guest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that time the chief guest was the Prime Minister of India, Devagoda. He came for the summer course. And the garland was meant for him. And Swami said, don't keep it anywhere down. Ensure it is properly handled before it is used. So even small minute details Swami used to take care. So it is lesson in itself, summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. But in a small things like this, Swami is so beautiful, Indian culture it is. Mm. Yes, and so every small minute detail Swami used to tell us.
I mean, I think everybody was so much involved in the summer course that, you know, there are practical lessons of what is Indian culture and what is spirituality happening even as you participate in the summer course. Because boys are involved with so many things, boys are living with so many other students in a room that perhaps can accommodate 10 or 15 students, you will have 25 students staying.
Not 25. In fact, each room is 11, three times the number.
So culture is all about sharing, and caring,
sharing and caring.
And concern for others. And you have to really live that.
Adjustment is discipline. Swami said adjustment is discipline. Yes. So that's the way it was. It's such a wonderful thing. Even
you enjoyed.
Many of the students used to cry. Students who never knew Swami, they used to come, stay in Vrindavan for a month. And after the summer course, many of them will be in tears to leave. It was a heaven and earth. For 1 month for them, it was a heaven and earth. And throughout their life, I'm sure they'll never forget such a beautiful moment they had chance to experience in Vrindavan during the summer course.
I mean, it has always been a great entry point. I mean, that is, the summer course is the event that used to happen as the initial activity of the academic calendar of Bhagavan's educational
institution. In fact, it was during the holidays time.
Yes.
It was not exactly during the academic period. It was during the holidays time. And Swami himself is to ensure every small minute detail is taken care of. Right from the water, right from the facilities, right from the food, the menu, and what should be given when, the standard, the quality, every small thing Swami. And Swami himself is to give badges to all the students.
Yes.
Personally, Swami is to give to all
the students
who attended the summer course.
Yes. Wow. In the early years, I heard they used to even also go to the city and social
service. Yes, we had every Sunday, we used to go to Russell Market, a city market in Bangalore, and clean the whole ambience. And Swami himself used to come in the car, and it was such an inspiring moments for us, because the Lord himself used to be there when we used to clean the market, the surroundings of Russell Market and the city market.
Wow.
And sometimes we used to go to village and clean even the drainage.
Oh, wow. It's really a very, very overwhelming experience for the newcomers and for students who have experienced it before. You know that it is going to be a feast for your eyes.
Not only it's feast for the soul, feast for the body.
For the body, yes, in every way. And sir, you were someone, as you were mentioning, that you have seen that Vrindavan of the early years and the safe room era, as they say. Of course, I think the safe room era continued till 1982-83, isn't it? Till the old bungalow went down. So, what are your memories of the safe room?
Not everybody is allowed. Few of us had the good fortune of being in the safe room. When Swami was there, it was a small room. In fact, there's an iron safe, so it is called a safe room. It is an old palace, and later on became Swami's mandir. So, there's an old iron safe, that's why it is called a safe room. And first floor, Swami used to come down and Swami used to sit on the sofa there. And few of us used to be there, few fortunate students and few elders. And Swami will interact with us for some time. I recollect in 1979, Swami was sitting and suddenly Swami rolled up his sleeves and said, it's 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Vivekananda is reborn. He's in Sri Lanka. He's 9 years old. He doesn't want to go to school.
Uh-huh.
He's crying.
Oh, wow.
I just heard it. 10 years later, I was in Puttaparthi, sitting in the portico, main portico. Swami had called a group of devotees from Sri Lanka for an interview. And after the interview, Swami came and told the students, do you know who the person is? Who the tall, lean person? No, who he is? It's Vivekananda reborn.
Vivekananda reborn?
Yes, Swami said Vivekananda reborn. He is 19 years old. In 1979, when I was in the safe room, Swami told all of us, he's 9 years old, he doesn't want to go to school, he's crying. And 1989, I was in Puttaparthi, in the sitting near the portico of main mandir, and Swami said he's 19 years old. See, something Swami reveals, we just take it lightly, but there's a lot of significance behind it.
One wonders, where is Vivekananda now and what is he doing?
Swami said he has some more work to do, so that's what it is, because after that, I don't know exactly what happened.
So the safe room had such very revealing moments. I think you had such informal moments with Bhagwan.
Yes, once, yes, we had Gokulam. They were almost some 50 to 60 cows. And many students used to take care of the cows. They go early in the morning and milk the cows. There are few workers, but the students used to go around 3:30 or 4 o'clock early in the morning, milk the cows, and milk was supplied to the hostel. And fodder is to be grown in the adjacent ground. Ram Brahman was a caretaker of Vrindavan those days, was taking care of the land where grass is to be grown for the cows. There was some problem with the workers. Very few workers were there. And a lot of grass had to be cut. And he prayed to Swami if he can use boys for cutting the grass. Swami said, yes, some 20-30 boys volunteered to cut the grass. And Ram Brahman provided them with sickles. And many of them went to the ground to cut the grass. It's a fodder for the cows. And since most of them didn't know how to use the sickle, they had little bruises on their palm. And all we came back and asked Ram Brahman, how did the boys do? Swami, boys did a wonderful job. I don't think workers would have done it so fast. These boys done a wonderful job. Little did he realize that, you know, boys had bruises on their palm. And I still remember Swami asked all the boys, show your palms here, whoever went for cutting the grass. And many boys had bruises on their palms. And Swami himself personally touched everybody's palm.
Oh my God.
And by the time the boys went to hostel, I think most of the bruises would have vanished.
Wow.
It only shows God's compassion.
Wow. You do little for God.
You do for God and He takes care of you.
Yes. If ever you have gone through any pain for the Lord, He will ensure that you gain by that a million times.
No, it's just that. No, He just wants to give you a small chance to shower tons and tons of love and grace.
Wow. And I think in those days, you know, any Vrindavan boy you talk to, everybody has very, very precious memories of being with Bhagwan in the safe room.
Just now I recollect a beautiful incident. Those days Swami used to come quite early in the morning. And after darshan, again he used to go give interviews to the devotees. And we used to wait outside the old Vrindavan. It was a Thursday. Generally we have, as it is even till today, we have moral class. First period is known as the moral class. So the bell rang. And most of the students left. They went to the college. But few of us were still hanging around. We thought one more glimpse of Swami. Mm. We were all hanging. Anytime Swami may come, we'll one for some more. And some 30-40 boys, some of we stayed back. And we are still waiting for Swami's darshan. After that, Swami came out. And Swami started interacting with us. So, so beautiful it was. Very few of us were there. Swami started interacting. And suddenly Swami said, oh, you have a class. All of you go. And all of us ran. The moral class has already started. A very learned and highly respected speaker, elderly person. He was speaking in the moral class about the origin of the universe, the Brahman, the Parabrahman, the Diti, Aditi. He was speaking about some, I should call it, some very abstruse philosophy. And he was a little agitated when the boys started moving one by one. He said not to allow boys to come inside because he was getting disturbed. So he came back and Swami was there. So he had a fortune of meeting Swami after he returned back from the moral class. Then he told Swami, boys are very indisciplined, they are not coming on time. He was very upset with the boys and he went to city. In the evening, Swami called, we are all there. During darshan time, Swami casually asked some of the boys, what did the speaker talk about in the moral class? Then boys told Swami, he spoke about the origin of the universe, Brahman, Parabrahman. Suddenly Swami said, see, little did he realize that boys were with the Parabrahman himself.
He had no idea that boys were with the Parabrahman
himself. He was speaking about Parabrahman. He was a little agitated that boys came late for the moral class. Little did he realize that boys were with the Parabrahman himself.
And he is complaining to Swami. He should have been so happy.
Anyway, it's all part of the Lord's
game. Yes.
Game.
Yes.
He just wanted to teach mankind through the small instances.
Wow. Amazing. And that's how I think any boy you speak to from that era, because Swami used to spend so much time with the student, because he used to come to the classes, come to the dining hall, you celebrate so many festivals.
In fact, sometimes Swami used to come even to the old dining hall. It was a Kadapa slab. the 70, early 70s. Swami's come early in the morning and sit and demand breakfast.
Oh my God.
He said, Swami, wait, Swami, I'll prepare breakfast for you. That is the 70, 70,
wow.
71.
Wow.
So very few boys were there. Mm. Brindavan was isolated, hardly any houses around.
Yes. That is the kind of environment Brindavan always had, you know.
No, that's why the Brindavan, Swami himself said the same Brindavan.
Yes.
Is here now and the same Krishna is with you.
Yes.
In fact, Swami wrote in one of the letters, when Krishna left Brindavan and went to Mathura, Gopikas were in tears. And knowing their agony, Krishna sent Uddhava to console the Gopikas. Uddhava came and said, why are you all so depressed? The Krishna who is your indweller, why are you so depressed? He said, keep your philosophy of Atman for yourself. Krishna is your own Atman, he said. The Gopika said to Uddhava, keep your philosophy of the Atman to yourself. We want that beautiful form of Krishna. Then Swami writes in that letter, the same Krishna is here, but you are not feeling it.
You had that kind of an environment in Brindavan all the time. Boys always are rushing for Swami. Boys craning and straining themselves to just catch one more glimpse of Swami.
Yes, in Thrai Brindavan, those days, Jula was not there. There was a small chair kept for Swami inside the Thrai Brindavan. Swami says, sit on the chair and boys used to surround. Many times Swami used to summon the boys and boys used to rush inside. They all rushed inside and to the extent possible, they wanted to sit as close as possible to Swami. And during the process, many of them fell and some of the elders were coming behind, notice all this. And now everything settled. Swami asked one of the elders to speak. So one of the elders spoke. Swami, boys are very, very disciplined. They don't care about elders. They don't care about others. Almost every day the similar boys come and sit in front of you. They should give chance to others. And he said, so many elders are coming that don't even bother about the elders. Swami heard. Then after that Swami spoke. Swami said, see, outside students, they run after film stars. My students, they said, come what may. Whatever happens to me, they're not bothered whether they get hurt. Whatever happens to them, I want to be near Swami. See, this engage to get that kind of pure divine desire to be with God is something very, very rare. Instead of telling them, you should encourage them. They want to be close to God. It's a very great quality in students to have God's proximity. The boys are all fully charged. Next day, again after darshan, Swami is not standing near the Thrai main door. Swami is far away. Then suddenly he said, oh, boys, go inside. So all the boys are fully charged. They all rushed inside and one of the boys toppled. The small silver tumbler containing water was kept next to Swami's chair. The tumbler fell and it hurt one of the students' teeth. And Swami came and Swami is very, very upset. And for 3 days, Swami didn't come down for darshan.
Oh, oh my God.
At the same time, it both ways it is. Swami said, you elderly people, you don't want to get hurt. After all the boys go inside, you slowly come. It's not that. If you see from a broader perspective, different people learn lessons from different circumstances. For different age groups, the lessons are different. For boys, it is the pure love for God. Yeah. Swami wanted to ensure the love grows more and more. And at the same time, for the elders, from their perspective, they said they should be disciplined. In the small instance like this, Swami teaches us something which is very, very valuable for a lifetime.
Absolutely. Cultivating that love for the divine was always the underlying precept of everything that Swami did, if you see, isn't it?
But at the same time, you see, he's the same old mischievous Krishna. So he does it in his own sweet way. That's what it is. For others, it may look little out of the place. For the Lord, he enjoys every small thing of what he does.
And there are always, in every act, different lessons for different people. So if there is something that is communicating to the students, he's communicating something to the elders also, and he's doing it in a manner where both get the lesson.
See, ultimately it is everyone has to learn a lesson. That's more important. When you're with the divine, everybody learns something new every time. It all depends on how we open up ourselves.
Yes. Can I ask you, sir, your most precious moment in Brindavan? I know you have had like 42 years of being in Brindavan, so it's a long journey, very beautiful journey. But your precious moment of being at Brindavan, you know, which is etched forever for what it did to you?
It's extremely difficult to say one moment or two moments. Every day it was a great moment. Every moment was such a precious thing because the Lord was there with us. Fortunately, when I was a student, the warden in one of his speeches said, the value of the thing is known only when it's lost. So I took it in a positive way. Why lose it and know the value later? When it is there, know the value. So When I joined Vrindavan in 1977, for 29 long years till Swami is physically there, I didn't go for a vacation. Whether Swami was in Vrindavan or not in Vrindavan. Swami used to be in Parthi, Swami used to come to Vrindavan, used to be in Vrindavan during the holidays. Even till today, I feel it's one of the greatest blessing to be in that hallowed place. And Swami himself said in some context sometime long back that very soon the spiritual potency of Vrindavan will become very intense. Many people will come here. In fact, recently, the chief priest of Kashi Vishwanath Temple, who was not a devotee of Swami, came to Bangalore. And by some coincidence, he happened to come to Trai Vrindavan when the puja was going on. We have the Traishwari Lingam in Trai Vrindavan, and every day puja is done both in the morning and the evening. And he went into a trance, literally. Mm-hmm. For the first time he's coming, he was a Shirdi Baba devotee, and somebody told him this is Sai Baba ashram. He thought it was Shirdi Baba's temple. So when he came, he knew it was Satya Sai Baba's temple. Nevertheless, since he came inside. And puja was going on, literally went through a trance. For 45 minutes, they wanted to disturb, but they didn't want to disturb him. Then after he asked those people, have you come to Kashi Vishwanath? No, the same spiritual vibration is there. You don't have to have the darshan of Kashi Vishwanath there. Here, I am feeling the same vibration here.
Wow, amazing. Of course, I mean, that is where Swami lived all his life. So many years. In fact, I remember talking to Dr. Mohan, trustee of the Central Trust and the Padma Shri, famous diabetologist of India. When he came to Vrindavan many years ago, I think this was sometime probably in the 90s or 80s, first time when he came to Vrindavan, Bhagwan was not there. But something happened and out of curiosity, he stepped into Vrindavan. Until then, he had visited many ashrams. He had visited Aurobindo Ashram and he had visited many spiritual personages also. But somehow there's always that emptiness. And he says the moment he stepped into Vrindavan, he just felt this is it. He felt this is the answer. This is what I was looking for all my life. Even though Bhagwan was not there, he knew that this is his destination. Of course, he came to Puttaparthi later on. But I think that is the Stala Mahima. You know, that is the potency of the place. It is so love-charged in the purity, sublimity of the divine. Because the divine actually lived there. So it's really, absolutely, we have no idea what it does to people once they enter into that environment. Amazing, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for sparing your time and coming to the studios. It is definitely a blessing because I had no clue that you will be here in Prashanti. I just take it as Swami's prasadam that you could come and give us this beautiful glimpses of being with Bhagwan in Vrindavan. Thank you so much.
Sairam.
Sairam. So that was Dr. C. N. Sundaresan, who continues to teach in Bhagwan's Vrindavan campus, the Department of Chemistry. He's probably going to superannuate in a year or two, but someone who's so filled with enthusiasm will continue to serve Bhagwan like so many teachers of Bhagwan's institutions because they have experienced the joy of being part of Bhagwan's glory. Swami once said, when you listen to my story, you forget the story of the world and you begin to live in my story. Until there is no separate story for you to relate to or live. And then Bhagwan says, to make you storyless is the scheme of my story. So that is what Bhagwan wants us to be. As we listen to his stories, we have to forget, and that's what happens. We forget the stories of the world and we live with in his stories until there is no other separate story that we can relate to, isn't it? Once Bhagwan enters your life in a manner where it redefines everything that you have understood about life and everything that you relate to in life
acquires a new dimensions. Now there is no other separate story for you to relate to. And you begin to become storyless because there is only one story, and that is his story, and that is history. And that is what we are trying to capture in this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, trying to capture the history, his story of the glory that he freely gifted to everyone in Vrindavan. So we'll continue this series in the coming episodes till the Golden Jubilee celebrations in June 2019. Even then we would have not even covered a drop of the ocean, that is Vrindavan, but we would have done our little bit in disseminating this beautiful saga, and hope that this will inspire all of us that one day we become storyless. And the only story we identify ourselves with is the story of his glory. Thank you so much. As always, please feel free to get in touch with us. Send us your Vrindavan moments. Send us your precious recollections of seeing Swami in Vrindavan. We'd be very happy to share your experiences. So till now, even sharing the experience of students, but there are so many people who have had such fantastic moments in Vrindavan district. Just like I shared with you the story of Dr. Mohan. So if you have had your timeless moments in Vrindavan, please do feel free to share. You can send your audio recording, or you can send to our email address, listener@radiosai.org, and do convey your feedback on this program. Anything that you want to add to this program by sending your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this journey. Sai Ram.